In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. I'm going to ask you a question. I've often said that the Christian life for many people has a shelf life of a year and a half. And what about the people who stay? What about the people who stay and the people who continue and the people who run meetings and have prayer meetings and all that stuff? What about them? What about them? They are the ones that stay. But when they stay, they have become stale, so many of them. So many of them have become stale, okay? They stay, but they've become stale. Now let me tell you about the Word of God. It's called bread. And it's bread that should be fresh every day. New bread, fresh bread every day. Not stale bread, but fresh bread. Understand what I'm saying? The Word of God is bread. I am the bread of life, Jesus says. It's talking about the Word of God. When he talks about, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, he's talking more than the Word of God. He's talking about his body and blood. But when he talks about, I am the bread of life, he's talking about the Word of God. He is the Word of life. He is bread. This is the bread that has come down from heaven. He's talking about the Word of God. The Word of God is bread from heaven. Now, most Christians have a life or a shelf life, a year, year and a half. But what about the people who stay? Most of the people who stay become stale. Not fresh bread anymore. They're into the same stuff that happened 87 years ago, you know. And really, they're not listening to God and... You know, they had big prayer meetings at one time, beautiful prayer meetings, and now they have a coffee clutch. Nothing's happening at the prayer meeting. No more people getting converted. You know, there used to be great witnesses that what God was doing, you know, but God's not doing anything anymore. But we meet every week. You know, we've been meeting for the last 77 years. Isn't that wonderful? They become stale. They become stale. Not day-old bread, but bread that even become moldy. Now, how do you prevent that from happening? That's the question, okay? Because this is real. This is the church, okay? I'm going to tell you, when Father Fitton came to East Boston, this church was vital. When Father Fitton came to East Boston and established the church in Boston, I'm going to tell you, this church was vital. But then something begins to happen. The church, the prayer meeting, it's all the same thing. Become established. And, you know, I often said, you know, when they put the charismatic renewal stuff in the book of the diocese, it was dead enough to put it in there. It was no more a threat. And now charismatic renewal can be put in the archdiocesan book. Yeah, it was dead enough to be put there. They never put it there in 1970. When things were happening, when people's lives were being changed, when we had conversions one right after the other, they would never put that in the archdiocesan book. No, and not even in 1980, when charismatic renewal peaked. Oh, no. They waited until it was so dead that, you know what, it just, you know, it's part of the diocese, part of what's happening. Now we're accepted. Isn't that wonderful? Well, I'm going to tell you when things become stale, they don't have any use to God or to humanity when things become stale. He's the living bread that comes down from heaven. This is the bread that has come down from heaven, and this bread is fresh. Okay, I'm going to look at the second chapter of Hebrews, the first verse, because I think this is an important remedy. This is an important remedy. And so the letter to the Hebrews says, therefore, and when it says therefore, you've got to see why it's therefore. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? That's the apostles. So forgetting the apostolic words, the apostolic teaching, the letter of the Hebrews says you can't forget the apostolic teaching. Now, I'm not talking about doctrine now, okay? I believe in doctrine. I'm talking about the apostolic teaching that they lived by faith, that they expected God to move, that they had zeal to go and to propagate the gospel, that they didn't stay in one place, that their message went out throughout all the earth, that they weren't really happy. They weren't aiming to become established. They were aiming to live by faith. They were aiming to please God. They were aiming to live the life of Judaism fulfilled through Christ. They were able to endure persecution. They lived as if it all was real. But the author says that we must, I'll read it again, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard from the apostles, lest at any time we should let them slip. And that's exactly what happens when the church became established, when prayer groups became established, when people became established, when religious orders became established. They let slip the basics of the apostles' teaching, that it's by grace through faith, but not only in our minds, but that grace is transformative, that God changes people, that we are called to the ministry of power, that you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes, that we forgot that God only works through a sacrifice, because the sacrifice of Calvary is the center, and if God only works through sacrificial offerings, not through things that have been established. You know, when things are established, I'm going to tell you, they're on the way out. You see, Christianity is a body, and a body that is established is dying, because now it's got a death mode. I don't know if you've ever been with people who are dying. I have been. There is a time when the person who is alive is in a death mode, and they are headed toward death. Okay, I've seen it with my mother. I've seen it. They're in the death mode. They are no longer in a living mode. They're in the death mode. And if the body of Christ is a body and a vibrant body, because we have a vibrant head, his name is Jesus, then we cannot be in a death mode. We have to be in a life mode, and we cannot forget the things that the apostles have taught us, and that we must live by faith. We must expect that God is going to show up. We must learn how to worship. We must bring people to grace. We must allow God through our preaching to transform people, that there should be witnesses and things should be happening, because we are not talking about a death march. We are talking about a victory march. We are talking about the life of God. We are talking about the life of Christ. We are talking about Jesus. We are not talking about some dead man. We're talking about the living reality. But you see what happens? We forget. We forget and let those things slip. Like, how many people are living by faith today? If you think the churches are living by faith today, you're out of your mind. Doesn't live by faith. They're living by, you know, what's in the bank. Or what might not be in the bank in 10 years. You know, they stop paying the priests that are disabled. They're giving them $200 a month because, you know what, they're afraid they're going to lose money, and they want to keep the Titanic floating. They don't want the Titanic to sink. Well, it's going to sink. If not today, next week. If not next week, next year. The church that is not living by faith will sink. The church which is not living by faith will sink. I don't care what church it is. I don't care if it's Catholic. I don't care if it's charismatic. The church that is not living by faith will finally sink like the Titanic. It's the way it is. You could only, you know, hold out the establishment so long, Only so long, because you know what? God gives you up because you're not living by faith and you're not living by grace. You're living by your own structures. You're living by your own power. And God gives you up. He just says, you know what? Have fun. Have fun. Live by your own power. That's what's happened to charismatic renewal. So we got people, most people in charismatic renewal, not everybody, but most people, you know, there is stale. I got some old bread in my room, you know, in my dining room. Old bread, stale, chew on it. You know, chew on. It's not fresh bread. But, you know, there is a way to get it fresh, to put it back in the oven. Oh, yeah, put it back in the oven. The oven is the fire of the Holy Ghost, that God can take stale bread and make it nice and warm again and crispy. He can do that if you put it back in the oven. If you put it back in the oven, if you let the fire of God come upon it again, if you admit that you've forgotten the things of the apostles, that you forgot to live by faith, that you've lived into the established, where we want to be established, rather than, you know, the apostles didn't know what was going to happen next, but they followed Jesus. You know, we call it the apostolic church, the Catholic Church, and it is. We have apostolic succession, but who lives by faith? Who lives by faith believing that God is going to provide? Who lives by faith that believing that God is going to transform people? That's what it's all about. You see, it's not about all these teachings, you know, all these teachings. Give me a break. You know what St. Paul says about all these teachings? He says knowledge puffs up. Knowledge puffs up. And it's so easy to get puffed up because I've got all this knowledge. And, you know, it's not about knowledge. It's about knowing Him. It's about knowing Him. It's about loving Him. It's about Jesus. The church is about Jesus. I don't care what church it is. But when you get into an establishment, whatever it's the non-denominational establishment. We don't prophesy anymore. We've got to bring it to the judges. We've got 19 judges going to discern the word. You're established. You're not open to God. You're not living by faith. And that's why the church in the West is dying. We do not live by faith. We do not trust God. We want to make it happen. And can I tell you something? We can't make it happen. We've tried, and it doesn't happen. It begins to happen when people become sacrificial and surrender their lives unto Jesus and say, you know what, I don't know the next step, but I'm willing. I'm willing to do the foolish thing if that's what you want. But you see, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard through the apostles, lest at any time they should slip from us. For if the word spoken by angels, that's the law was given through angels, was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how much shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Because now nothing comes to us through angels, it comes to us with the Son of God, who is the Son of the Eternal Father, who is God from God, light from light, true God from true God, and that He has spoken through the apostles, and that the apostles lived by faith. And that if we're an apostolic church, we're to live by faith. We're not to live by sight. And if we're the apostolic church, then we are to trust God. We are to be filled with zeal. We are to be filled with fire. Where's the fire? You know, I'm going to tell you. This is any church now. Oh, we hear that second chapter of Pentecost. Isn't that a wonderful chapter? Ah, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, the scripture says, there was a rushing mighty wind that filled the whole place, and tongues as of fire that alighted over their heads. Isn't that something? Wind and fire. You know what happens when you have wind and fire? My Lord. If that ever happened in any church today, they'd call 911. They'd call 911. Call the police. Call the police. We cannot contain this. That's the whole issue. We cannot contain the Holy Ghost. We cannot contain Him. We cannot contain God. God is God. He doesn't fit my mold. The big sin is that God made us in his image and after his likeness. And the big sin is we want to make God after my image and after my likeness. That's the big sin. When God is fire and God is wind.
We've been meeting for 18 years. Every Wednesday we're meeting. Oh, hallelujah. Glory.
Nobody comes anymore. Everybody knows it's dead but you. The leaders have become their own bishops. Same old story. Get established. Forget what happened at the beginning. Forget the apostolic teaching. Forget living by faith. Forget being zealous. Forget propagating the gospel. Forget witnessing. Forget that God heals. Forget all those things. That's right. Forget them. Just forget them. That's what happens. I told you that Christianity has a shelf life of what? A year and a half. But for those who stay, they become established. And you know what? There used to be a song that went like this. It could happen to you and to me too. It could happen to you. It could happen to me. And we forget that God wants to be active. That God wants to lead us as the Good Shepherd Jesus. That the Lord wants us to live by faith. That the Lord wants to do things in our midst. That the Lord wants to be God, really. But, you see, settle for the establishment, your own establishment. And you know what? The people that criticize the church, they've just become just like the church. You know, the church was meant to be a vital body. And you know what? It is in persecuted countries. It is. It is in bishops that don't care about their own reputation. It is. Because they care about their people. They care about their people. They don't care about their own reputation. The church is a vital body in persecuted countries. That's true. But when you get established, then you have to wonder, what will the globe say about us? Rather than, what will God say about us? You know what I'm saying? What will the parishioners say about me? What will God say about me? God's not even in the equation when we get established many times. He's not in the equation. You know why? Because then we make God in our own image and after our likeness. Don't forget what the apostles taught. Don't forget that they were persecuted. Don't forget that they all died as martyrs. Don't forget that they lived by grace through faith. Don't forget that they went around the world propagating the gospel. Don't forget that signs and wonders were ordinary. Don't forget that there were new converts, even in Rome, even in Caesar's palace. They were so vital that even in Caesar's palace, there were Christians because they had something to bring them to. The fire of God, the love of Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit, even in Caesar's palace. You may be one of the people that have been stale. You need the fire. You need to get into the oven again. You need the fire of God. I need the fire of God. I need the fire of God. I need it. I don't know about you. I need God's fire. God's holy, purifying, loving fire. I need it. Jesus said, when that John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit and with fire. With fire. My Lord, fire is what we need. But it's very uncomfortable to sit in the hot seat. You know what I'm saying? It's very uncomfortable to sit in the hot seat. I'd much rather be respected. Oh, no. Respected by whom? For instance, now there's a new bill coming out, you know, that they're going to build bathrooms for transvestites in elementary schools. What's the church going to say about it? Nothing. And that if you say anything about it after the law comes, it's going to be a hate crime. People go to jail. Nice. It's lovely. What's the Pentecostal church saying about it? Nothing. Yeah, everybody wants to be accepted. You know, we don't want to do anything. Yeah, today they're killing children in Planned Parenthood. What's the Pentecostal church doing about it? Nothing. What's most of the Catholic church doing? Nothing. Didn't even pray about it yesterday. Yeah, you know, because, you know, we don't want to rock at the boat. Because people will think we're crazy. I'm going to tell you, Jesus was a boat rocker. Jesus Christ was a boat rocker. When he went into the temple, I'm going to tell you, and he threw over those tables, he was a boat rocker. That was the end. After he did that, he had to die. They could not deal with Jesus the Lord turning over the tables in the holy temple of God. And Jesus said something, my house shall be called a house of prayer, quoting Jeremiah, but you have made it a den of thieves. Mamma mia. The bishops of the day could not deal with that. They were called Pharisees. The pastors of the day could not deal with that. From the Pentecostal church, they were called Pharisees. My house shall be called a house of prayer, but you've made it into a den of thieves. I wonder what he says about our bingo halls. Listen, I have something. Remember, we advertised the Choose Life license plates. We have someone that's donated $100,000. We need just about another 700, 800 applications so we can have a Choose Life license plate. This is the telephone number to call, 781-224-0404. Choose Life. Get a license plate. I think it costs $40. If they don't use the $40, they'll send it back to you. My Lord, I wonder if you even have enough guts to get the license plate that says Choose Life. You know, let people know that we choose life. Give me a break. We're just so established. We don't want to rock the boat. We just want to be stale bread. Let them kill children at Planned Parenthood. Let them kill children. It doesn't involve me. I think it does. And it involves me too. God forgive us. And what do we do about it? Nothing. Because we're stale bread. There's only one answer to stale bread. It's got to be put in the fire. And you know what, kids? I need that fire more than anybody else. I need the fire of the Holy Ghost. And if you don't want it, I pray God give it to me. And I want your share. I want your share. And I want that fire to be in the fireplace. It's called the church. But I don't want a fireplace without fire. And I don't want a fire without a fireplace. I want both. Because that's the divine economy of God. You know, I need to hear from you so that we can pay our bills. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And I do endorse Jimmy the Roofer. And you know what? He's so inexpensive. He really is. I mean, he's the greatest. Dial 617 416-1210. You need a roof? Raindrops keep falling on you. What? 617-846-1210. 617-846-1210. I endorse him, but I do need to hear from you, please, so that we can pay our bills, because that's the only way we pay our bills. We depend upon God, and we depend upon God using you. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Let's not be so established that we get stale. But let's not be so filled with fire, but we have no fireplace. There's always a happy medium. And you know what? That's in the Holy Spirit. May Jesus Christ be praised today. And if you're stale, get in the oven. Get some heat. God wants to use you. He's not through with you yet. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.